What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus. And Lotus, we had kind of a schedule thing last week, so you and I weren't here on our normal Thursday night to record this. So here we are on a Monday, right?
Yeah. We didn't want to skip a show. It was just kind of unavoidable Thursday. So yeah. I guess you get two shows this week.
Yeah. So we're doing this now. We'll be back in a few days. Yeah. And what we're talking about tonight is Daggerfall. We already went through Arena. We talked about the main quest line and all the main steps of the quest and all of that. And we are jumping into Daggerfall. This game was released only like 2 years after Arena. It was in modern terms, that's unthinkable to have like AAA game only 2 years after the original release.
Well, especially with the scope of these games at the time, that is wild as a concept. It's like, oh, this is... Arena is such a huge, huge game that was like blowing everybody's minds. And then it's like, and here's Daggerfall, the biggest game that's ever been created.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okie dokie right. then.
With
and to
miles.
This day, I believe it's still the sixth biggest game that's ever been created by literal surface area.
Right. Like miles and miles of land mass.
Yeah, miles and miles. That includes like No Man's Sky. That includes like EVE Online and stuff like that. I believe it's like number six or something.
That's
overall.
That's so crazy. But it was a huge stepping stone in the development of the Elder Scrolls in so many different ways. The introduction of really solidifying the Daedric Princes and what's going on with that. A bunch of the different guilds like the Dark Brotherhood and the Fighters Guild and the Mages Guild. And these organizations and people and places and things that show up in the rest of the series or get referenced in the rest of the series or in, we've mentioned this before, in ESO, they get brought back as new dungeons or plot points or organizations that kind of reemerge in the lore. There's so much
here. It's also sort of where, in the first one of the things that I said quite frequently was like, you can see the bones of the series kind of like there, but they haven't really formed. This is where you're going to start seeing a lot of things that become the Elder Scrolls that everybody knows about. It's the Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall that kind of starts really forming those things and putting stuff on it. So that it's like, oh, you know, there are Daedric Princes. Just that simple concept becomes more of a thing now. Yeah. And you know, we get more to it and it's less theoretical stuff and more like, okay, this is the world we're starting to recognize. You'll recognize more in Daggerfall than you would in Arena.
Right, right. So for this series, to start this off, we're going to go through the main quest line, just like we did with Arena. And this might take a few more episodes. We divided Arena up into just a few episodes. This might take a few more episodes to get through that. But then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we can continue to talk about. And we're going to cover basically everything you would want to know about Daggerfall without having to get it working on your PC or whatever and then dealing with the difficulty curve and the
UI. You're trying to tell me everybody doesn't love DOSBox.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And there's different ways. There's easier ways and harder ways to get it run and all that. But we're not going to address that. But here, let's get into the main quest line because this game starts in a freaking dungeon. And I know you've played through most of the game at this point, Lotus. Yeah. I've attempted to get into this game. Even the first dungeon is deadly difficult.
Yes. So this one's it's a little more. I don't know. This one seems a little more difficult for most people, even like as notorious as the first dungeon in Arena is. Daggerfall's first dungeon, or technically first cave, because it's a shipwreck that you start with.
Yeah, Privateer's like, Hold is what it's called. Yeah.
Yes, Privateer's Hold. It's a cave. It's full of horrible things that want you dead.
as is most locations in this game.
as are most locations in the game, yes. And the thing about this is... what quickly becomes apparent compared to even Arena is the maps. Now, these ones are designed in a certain way, which will make more sense in a minute. But like the main quests, you will get like a direction to them. Like this is crafted. It's like you would expect from Skyrim. Like we design these dungeons. It's like Morrowind. We design these dungeons. You go through them. A lot of things are procedurally generated in Daggerfall, which is why it becomes so difficult to navigate, and the map does not help because it's on a 3D plane thing. This place is huge, like right out the gate.
Every dungeon in this is just, even the dungeons in Arena were just way bigger than what we expect in modern games.
Yes, and Daggerfall kind of takes us to like a new level. So much so that one of the Daggerfall Unity mods is basically just shrinking the dungeons because it solidifies them because they're so massive and complicated, and there's looping paths and stuff. You just get, it looks like spaghetti, like when you look at the 3D maps.
Spaghetti,
like,
the game. You get, yeah, it's very easy to get lost or to feel like I should have come across something by now. What is going on? And then,
right. Yeah. And that is very much right out the gate with Privateer's Hold. You get that. It's just like, here you go. You're just dropped in, and here's things trying to kill you. Figure it out.
Yeah, so we're going to be pulling stuff from the UESP articles on this because they summarize so much of this. But of course, as we usually do, we're going to add in extra stuff as we go along. And I've got a lot of really cool things that we can quote from the game, actual sections in the text like we did with Arena, or some of the letters that you get and these kinds of things. And it's always so fun to go back and see what the actual words said. So Privateer's Hold starts off when it, and it says this: you wake up and look around the room. Some hours ago, you were in a boat en route to Daggerfall when a storm of supernatural strength boiled over the Iliac Bay like a malefic creature. Okay, immediately, this is like, okay, this is a fantasy-ass fantasy game.
Flowery speech galore.
Right, right. And this isn't the first time that we've seen supernatural storms. This is This is a running thing in the lore. This is something that they even pulled into ESO. So this is the origin of that in the series, as far as I know. It goes on and says, your boat was destroyed, but you managed to swim through the churning water to a promontory rock. There you found a cave and escaped the fury of the storm. You had only just lit a small fire when a mudslide sealed you within. Your fear of being buried alive calmed when you saw the corridor leading to the cavern. Perhaps there is a way out of this cave after all. Once free of the cave, you can begin the Emperor's quest. So before you even get to the main quest line, this is basically the tutorial section. You just have to simply escape a cave. That's all. It's that easy.
We should kind of mention that you are not a prisoner in this, which is a change from like most of the series, honestly. In this one, you're not exactly the right hand man of the Emperor, but you're pretty close to the Emperor, I guess I would just say.
You're an important person.
Yeah, and you've got a message that you want to deliver, but that damn really over the top. What kind of storm was it? what was the word for it? I lost it.
Malefic. Malefic, M-A-L-E-F-I-C. Beautiful. Nobody uses that word anymore.
I actually know. I don't think I've ever used that word, nor will I ever.
Malefic, like a malefic creature.
Yeah.
So, but this dungeon is not easy. You have to learn how to even swing your weapon. You have to realize that your health is the wrong color.
Yes.
Your health is green. Weird. Your stamina is red. It's backwards. Yeah. Compared to the rest of Arena was the same way.
I don't like that. It screwed with me for a long time.
That part's a little bit weird. The monsters you fight in the dungeon are terrifyingly difficult. There's no easy way to heal. Depending on the character class you picked, some of them are just way even harder than others. And
simple things like bats, like, can definitely give you a solid run for your money at the start of this game.
Right. And if you get out of the cave, then hopefully you've at least leveled up once and you escape out into a wilderness and there's no telling you where to go.
Yeah. One thing about this, other than this is another game where you do not have quest markers. We had mentioned that several times throughout the Arena quest line. There are no quest markers. You do have your little crappy journal that will sort of direct you a little bit. Uh-huh. But this game is also a bit level locked as well. So until you hit certain level thresholds, it won't even prompt you to get the thing you need to progress.
Right. Like, so for this point, in order to get into the main storyline, you actually have to wait 1 to 2 weeks, according to the wiki article. It's like it's time gated. So they expect you to wander around the wilderness, find some towns, do some other stuff, level up a little bit, maybe run into some other dungeons. And then all of a sudden you get a letter and it says, "Dear," and then it inserts your player's name. We need a player's name. Lotus, what is our player's name?
Well, we could use Meyer. Actually, we should not use Myrina's name. How about Fred?
"Dear Fred, I heard about your accident at sea and feared the worst. Now that I've heard you're alive and well, I would like the opportunity to meet with you and discuss our beloved emperor's mission to the Iliac Bay. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lady Magnuson, the emperor's agent in the court of Daggerfall. My position is not so official as an ambassador. None but other agents of the emperor know of my true affiliation. The Iliac Bay is rife with rebels against the imperial throne, so your discretion is required. For the purpose of our meeting, I will take a room at an inn." And it just fills it in. This is another one of those random things, right? Like, it fills
in.
This
is such a weird feature.
It's like a random town and a random tavern in that town. And some towns have multiple taverns of Daggerfall for a month. "After that, I will no longer be available. I will expect you as soon as possible. Yours sincerely, Brissiana Lady Morganison.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little to unpack here. So you need to go meet with her to find out the direction and what the emperor sent you, like how you need to progress with figuring out this information that the emperor has kind of vaguely given you at the start of the game in this really sweet FMV that you could totally watch like wherever.
Right.
But that aside, the filling in the random town, like it puts in your name, like, okay, that's a neat touch. It did that in Arena. Everything, including quest parts, can have procedural generation to them, including where you're being sent for these things.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it can send you across like huge swaths of the map.
Yeah, no, enormous swaths of area that you need to traverse.
It's not like, and it's one of the three closest towns it picks from
and
them.
No. Like I said, a lot of the dungeons are procedurally generated as well. Privateer's Hold is handcrafted, so there is technically a way out of that convoluted mess. And it is kind of funny to look up the direct path because it makes it seem way simpler than it really is. Mm-hmm. Other ones, it's just a procedural nightmare. These quests can be a procedural nightmare as well that I ran into several times, because sometimes it is hard to figure out what the name of these places actually is. Like, one of them was called, like, I don't know, like the green, we'll call it the Green Briar Brewery. I don't know if that was, I don't think that was the exact name that I ran into on my playthrough thingy, but for the sake of argument, the Green Briar Brewery, that is not a brewery. That is the name of a town.
That's a good, it's a perfect name for a town. And that's not confusing at all.
More than once, I was like, I can't find this building. And it's like, no, that's the town you're looking for. I'm like, oh, dear God. Ugh. Because then you could also find something that could be a brewery called the Green Briar Brewery. And it could be a place in a different town.
The Red Dragon's Brewery in the Green Briar Brewery. It's like, exactly. Cool. All right.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that will be unique to just your game. They really did make it so that this is your experience when you play through it.
Right. Right. So once you finally find that town, you find the inn, you find Lady Brissiana, and she says, "Ah, thank you for responding to my letter." What was Fred? Wasn't that the character's name?
Fred. We're going Fred.
Fred. Fred, I am Lady Brissiana. Let me bring you to date on affairs. The specter of King Lysandus haunts the streets of Daggerfall at night. King Lysandus' ghost is haunting the town. We need help. Trying to communicate with him is futile. He will occasionally moan the word vengeance, but that is the only coherent word I have ever heard him utter. If you are ever in Daggerfall, do not wander the city at night. You are certain to be attacked by his legion of ghosts. It would probably be more gainful to investigate those who might have wronged Lysandus to find the cause behind his torment. I do not know if your royal family in Daggerfall or another person or persons merit more suspicion. The major powers of the Bay, Sentinel, Wayrest, and Daggerfall may be good places to start. Here's what's going on. There's ghosts in town, and maybe just go visit some of these other places.
It's like,
I don't know.
Need to get some information for the emperor and deliver something, but actually first there's this.
Right. Right.
So the vengeance thing is really funny. Because it's literally just a sound clip that you'll just hear vengeance, like out in the city at night. Totally not unnerving at all. The note about her vaguely threatening to leave in a month, by the way, that's real. She'll leave if mm-hmm. you don't, like, she'll get pissed off and, like, leave.
Yeah.
Which is weird because she's expecting to be like, what?
These '90s RPGs were time gated. This happens in the early Fallout games too. Like you have a certain amount of time to do things, and then it's just
with her before she totally just is done with you. But yeah, when we do make reference to the time on things, they're not metaphorical. Like in Skyrim, you can go off and do whatever you want in whatever order you want. This game, like if you miss your window of opportunity, they might not be willing to work with you anymore. So that's just something I feel is worth noting, that they're serious in Daggerfall.
Yeah, it's so cool. So cool. So then she briefs you on the letter, the Emperor's letter. She says,
yes,
in the matter of the letter, the Emperor's agent says that he was unable to hand deliver it to the Queen because of the war. He hired a courier who supposedly delivered the letter in his stead. We do not even know the name of this courier. Why not? Obviously, there is little information of use, but it would be worthwhile to see whether the letter arrived at Daggerfall Castle at all. How you decide to do this is entirely your decision. I will contact you if any new information should surface. I am leaving Daggerfall soon. My position has here, there's a typo, and all the typos are still there.
Oh, there'll be plenty.
Has been compromised and my life is in danger. Do not mention my name in court. It is more likely to hurt than help. Good luck and watch your back, Fred. So then,
should we give him a more medieval name, Fredius or something?
Fredius. That sounds very Latin.
Perfect. I love it.
All right. Fredius Maximus. all right. So you can delay the meeting, and then she sends you other letters and is like, hey, I'm not going to stick around and wait for you. You better come meet me. And then eventually you have to meet her in order to continue the main quest, or you just don't do the main quest because you can spend the whole game doing other stuff if you wanted. But you're
a lot of people do. Like they just live their virtual life doing other things.
Right. So, okay. So from there, you receive a letter from Princess Morgia. This is the next step.
Oh, Morgaia.
Morgaia.
Yes. Princess Morgaia sends you the first message.
Right. So you get this message from her, and she says, "Dear Fredius Maximus, my eyes and ears are abroad. Say that you are interested in the fate of a certain letter. Any emperor should not be so careless, nor should a queen. You really should come visit me in Castle Wayrest. I have some very interesting tidbits that I am sure you would enjoy hearing. Morgaia, Princess of Wayrest." And Wayrest was one of the locations that was mentioned in the previous conversation. So now,
a lot of the big locations that you know in the series now, you're going to start hearing as kind of commonplace in this game. This is where a more solid map gets kind of designed.
Right. And so now we have some clarity on, like, okay, let's go to Wayrest because that's what continues the quest line, right?
Right.
So you travel there and you go speak to Morgaia, and she says, "You're trying to track down that letter of the Emperor's, yes? There are very few scandals in the Bay of which I am totally ignorant. I could..." She's got her ears and everything, I guess. "I could give you some information, but nothing is without a price. That I know well. I need a champion who does fear..." I think it's supposed to be "does not fear the fire of oblivion. Are you interested? And then you agree, or you disagree and just, like,
I didn't say, you can also say no.
It. You can just be like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. I do fear the fires of oblivion. I'm out.
So if you do agree, then I guess you state an oath. And
you do.
There's like an oath you state, and then it says, "That is a relief to me." She says, "That is a relief to me. Do not ask any questions. Get this letter to a certain high level sorcerer at the Necromancer's Crypt, Scourge Barrow in the Dragontail Mountains. Avoid the rift. If you see it, you've gone too far," which is basically the game's way of saying, like, head in this direction, but this is how you know you missed where you were going.
Right. Which is good because they didn't lie to you like they do in The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, which we'll get into when we cover that game.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, this game doesn't require fast travel, but it requires fast travel a lot of the time.
What does that mean?
So you can walk there, but it's like walking there in real life.
Yeah.
So it will take you hours
right.
to get there. Like, you're traversing huge portions of the world and it's all like there. So you kind of just go to the world map and type in your directions. So like, her telling you you went too far if you did this is like, if I went too far, I probably died of thirst and hunger because I have been out here for weeks in real time.
Right, right. That's the, this is, I've got a new workout plan for everybody. You get a stand-up desk and you put a treadmill under it, and then you walk to every location that you're going to every time.
No one will make it. No one will make it.
Spend days walking on your treadmill.
We will have no listeners left after this challenge.
Well, she continues talking. This is where we get into the whole like necromancer undead portion of things.
Yep.
She
and
says,
"Get a name that you recognize very soon."
Yeah, yeah. This stuff's pretty cool. She says, "They will not be expecting you, and you will not wait for any introductions. The necromancers feel that death is a reward for the living, not a punishment." I love that. Once you have delivered the letter, they would feel no need to guarantee your safety. It is their way. I need the letter delivered and a response from King of Worms, not the King of Worms, King of Worms.
Just King of Worms.
In my hand 1 month from now at the absolute latest. The risks are very high. Freddius Maximus, please do not fail. So King of Worms gets brought up. But this idea that like we need to justify the reason why even after you're doing this thing and you seem to be friendly with this group, they're still just going to attack you anyway.
We can't reprogram the AI when you're leaving the dungeon to not try to kill you.
Right. Like, they're just going to still attack you. So,
right. Which is also funny because they attack you coming in and then they attack you going out. And it's like, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So she tells you you have to return in a month. And then there's another time limit there. You've got 30 days and you got to deliver this letter. And the letter says, King of Worms, I agree to your terms. I will give you your first. And you will exert your influence, firstborn child?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is alluding to.
Yeah, that's where they're going with this.
And your influence on the King of Firsthold on Somerset Isle, for your influence on the King of Firsthold in Somerset Isle, only you can let him speak with his dead son. For that, he would even marry Nolfaga. Who is Nolfaga?
Don't worry about that yet.
You wouldn't know yet, but it's the mother of the late King Lysandus of Daggerfall, and there's a whole thing. So that's the letter you have to deliver to the King of Worms. And then you travel there, right? And then you enter this, it looks like a fortress, and you go through another spaghetti maze.
Yes. That's actually a pretty good synopsis of that. One thing that's kind of interesting is some of the stuff we just gave you by like reading the note type of deal. The game, like, I actually almost missed that. Luckily, chat pointed out the fact that you can click on it. They're interactable objects, like, you know, any piece of paper or whatever. None of the story is overtly told to you, like, from that note. You never need to read it. You can just walk there and hand him the note having no idea what it says.
Yeah, which totally makes sense. Like, if you're role-playing a realistic thing,
it's
and someone says,
cool.
Deliver this letter, there's no expectation that you're going to read the letter.
That you just read it. Like,
right. It's not for you.
So it's kind of neat that, like, if you want the full story, you actually need to go and work at getting the full story. It's not going to just give it to you.
Right. So you work your way through another dungeon, fight a bunch of undead things, right? And then you get to the throne room. Like, or at least the main room, I guess it's sort of like a throne room, where you talk to the King of Worms and you get another letter. And there's these sexy undead ladies in bikinis.
Yeah, there's sexy strippers everywhere just vamping out. It's pretty weird. Mana Marco, I will say, looks totally awesome in this game.
He's got like the red hood. Right?
Yeah, he's
like,
super evil looking.
Yeah, yeah. So you approach and give him the letter, and he'll read it, and then he says, "Very good. If you are not awarded with death by the loyal servants of the Barrow, give this note to Princess Morgia, please." if my minions don't kill you and give you a reward, then
so
please.
Here's the thing, though, like, which is just so funny to think about just as a concept, like, okay, they give it a reason, like, oh, you know, I it's a reward for the living if you were to be murdered, whatever. So how's she gonna get this note that you're sending back
if you die?
Yeah. Right. Like, what's he just going to staple it to a zombie?
Oh,
and just
no. Get him? No, he would resurrect you and then send you there still.
And send your husk to go.
Right. Okay, because he doesn't care if you're alive or not.
I retract my objection to that. That's totally. It. Yep. Nope. Never mind. You got it. Actually, I'm totally good with that explanation.
Yeah. So he's got it worked out either way. It really doesn't matter.
So never mind. Yeah. I retract that objection there.
Right. So and here's what the letter says. If you decide to read it, he's a man of few words. It says, "Princess, done. King of Worms." That's it.
Love it.
That's it. So you take her the letter and she responds, "It's done. I'll be Queen of Firsthold, although I'm sure the engagement will be quite lengthy. Now, I promised you information about the Emperor's letter. The letter you seek is in the hands of Gortwog, the Warlock of the Orcs." What a wonderful name, Gortwog.
Great dude.
"He bought it from the Thieves Guild of Daggerfall after one of their numbers stole it from Queen Abrk-E." That is spelled...
Hers, I got no good way of saying that name. Abrk-E, I used to call her a dream, but I got nothing with that. I at least have heard enough that I knew that one. I don't know. Anybody can correct me if they have heard that pronounced. That one does not sound something like I've heard pronounced.
I don't think I've ever seen a word with a B and a K right next to each other like that. It's A-U-B-K-I.
Totally to
pronounce that however you want.
Yeah.
And then she goes on and says, "I confess, I don't know why the Emperor sent it to Abrk-E. The girl is innocent to a fault, and everyone knows that Gorthrid is not the loyal Empire toady that Lysandus was." So many weird names. "Of course, my own family..."
The names are very overwhelming.
"Yeah. Well, enough of this boring court gossip. If you really want to find this letter, you should get in good with Minisira." Did I say that one correctly?
That sounds good to me. Yeah.
Minisira.
Minisira.
Minisira, something like that. "The former queen of Daggerfall and queen mother to Gorthrid. I wouldn't directly approach her. Start with someone of lower station." Don't go talk to her. Just find somebody else.
Talk to somebody that knows her.
Yeah. And then you get like a random item reward. So
yeah.
Ta-da.
Usually they're bad.
Yeah. So time passes and then you get a letter on Morgia's engagement and it says King Edwyr and Queen Berenzaya. People might recognize that name.
Definitely recommend or recognize.
I recommend.
I do recommend.
Her
book is spicy.
"Sovereigns of the Kingdom of Wayrest are proud to announce the engagement of Morgaya, Princess of Wayrest, to Corudil, King of Firsthold in the Isle of Somerset." And then this part of the story is wrapped up. So that's the first few sections. And it is a mess of names. It is wacky.
It is. And that's sort of two quests, quote unquote.
I mean, you can divide it up that way, but yeah.
That's the thing. It's a little weird because this is why this one will be a little more complicated to explain than Arena, because it's like those are two quests, but they're kind of like mushed together. And then we're going to get into diverging stuff later where it's like you can do them in different orders, but these need to be done to progress the thing and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's your startup to
that's the beginning of it. And we've got another quest to detail, but first we have to thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for all of their support and welcome our newest patrons, including Jeremy J-Dub W. I'm going to not say the full last name, just to be careful. Robert M. Hibiro, I think is how that's pronounced. And Hair Appearance, spelled hair, not air. Nice. I see what you did there. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. I hope you are enjoying your ad-free episodes. And if you've signed up for the higher tiers, things like stickers, you get a sticker every 3 months, or a t-shirt, or joining us on our patron chats. And there's a bunch of other stuff. And there's like a whole bunch of episodes from like the early part of the show, when it wasn't as good because Lotus wasn't here, that you can go back and listen to if you want to get that stuff. And just to clear things up, most of that stuff we've gone back over the ensuing years. So you're not really missing out. They're just alternate versions of those things where I sometimes messed up some of the lore because I didn't understand it as well. So if you want to go listen to those episodes, they're still fun. I'm really selling it hard on this on everyone.
No, but you're really making that worth it.
But it's real good. You know, the show wasn't as good in its first, you know, 2 years. But hey, we got better. But you can still go listen to those, and there's still some really good content in there anyway. So go check that stuff out if you'd like. Head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast to check everything out. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, and Curacy. Thank you for your support. And to all 110 of our current patrons, thanks for being
here.
Appreciate
you.
Yes, we very much do. Also, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can rate this show on Spotify. You can tell your friends about it. If you're doing a bunch of dungeons in ESO and you're like, oh, they just mentioned this in one of the early games, you should go check out the podcast. All of that stuff helps, and we couldn't do it without you, because that's how this stuff works. We put the stuff out there, but if it wasn't for the audience responding, we wouldn't have a show. So thank you so much for your support. All right, let's get back with the next storyline, because this one's called Soul of a Lich, but it may not be the lich you expect. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Oh, that's right, Hersine. My mom plays Skyrim in some of the old episodes. I think those aren't patron only. I don't think those are available for everybody. So the storyline continues, and the next thing that happens that continues this main storyline is that you get attacked by a zombie?
I was going to say, I love this because as soon as you mentioned, oh, he'll just kill you and send your zombie husk there, I was like, wait a minute, that happens. So clearly, that I totally spaced that. So he sends it via Z-mail.
Zombie mail?
You're welcome.
That's great. So yeah, your zombie mail arrives. You kill the zombie, and then you notice that scrawled on the zombie's flesh is a letter addressed to you, Fredicus Maximus. It says, Fredicus Maximus, it would be an honor to have you visit me in my demesne at your convenience. I have a small matter that you are ideally suited for. As always, my servants will test your mettle. Like, they're still going to attack you no matter what. But
yeah,
hey,
like
come
they're
visit
still going to be messing you up.
This is still like life and death stuff, but I want you to visit. Feel free to dispense of them. They can always be raised again. The King of Worms. Master of Scourge Barrow. He's such a character in this. It's so funny.
Yeah. I wish Minimarco acted a little more Minimarco-y these days, because he was a lunatic at this game.
Yeah. Yeah. This is real good. So you go to Scourge Barrow, you fight through the zombies again, and then you meet him again. And he says, Fredicus Maximus, I am so glad you answered my letter. I hope my messenger was gentle. You have been a loyal servant in the past, not as loyal as my living dead, but far more versatile. My need involves the lowest depths of Castle Sentinel. You might recognize that. And the reward is knowledge that only the dead can provide. Are you willing? And of course, you can accept or decline. If you accept, he says, how amusing. I am looking for the answer to a question. It doesn't exist among the living, but may exist among the dead. I want you to bring me back the ghost of Prince Corollis. the great-grandfather of the King Cameron of Sentinel. Corollus was a sorcerer of no mean skill. He is now a lich deep in the bowels of the castle. I am giving you a special scarab. If you are close to him when you destroy his physical body, his soul will be trapped in the scarab. Bring it back to me, and I will tell you a tale few mortals have heard. So basically, he's like, go kill a lich, trap its soul, and your reward is a story. I'm going to tell you a story.
I'll tell you a story. Also, liches are wildly overpowered. So the fact that they want, like, they give you this as an option to do next is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous. This thing is like 15 levels above your, I don't know what it actually was, but it destroyed me for like a half an hour on stream trying to kill this thing.
Yeah, this whole thing is so ridiculous. The zombies keep attacking you, and he's like, you go out of your way just to, like, if this didn't exist in a video game, if you put this in a movie or a TV show, people would be like, what is the motivation? Why are you doing all of this? What is going on? So do you remember this dungeon, Lotus?
I do. It's another spaghetti mess. I mean, these ones are at least structured spaghetti messes, because they're required for you to go into it type of thing, but that doesn't really make it better. But yeah, this one is just another, I actually, looking back through it, it's kind of funny. It's wow, this is actually, even knowing the directions to this makes my head hurt. Holy, it's,
there's
God,
a lot of twists and turns. Yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns, even if you just follow the, like, go this way, go this way, go this way. There's a lot to this. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one.
Yikes. Okay, well, that's a note. Also, I love the GIF of the lich at the bottom with the quest target. He's very happy.
Yeah, I don't have it up on the screen for people watching the live stream, but imagine a skeleton wearing an armor and like a red cape with a staff, and he looks very happy. He's a very happy skeleton. I was going to mention him. I was going to say, what did you think about him when you had to fight him, other than he kicked your butt a lot?
It literally destroyed me. Like, it is so completely out of your quest, like, range. I think that at this point, like, what it seemed to be from people who have joined on my streams of this, or who have watched like my playthrough on YouTube and stuff like that, a lot of the thing is this game kind of expects you to putz around doing other things.
Well, if, like, you, like you mentioned, if you actually spent the time to travel from one location to the other without fast traveling, then you might very well be well above this level at this point.
Yes.
And run into all sorts of other stuff along the way.
Trying to go straight at it, it's a mess, because this thing, it's like, when I fought this thing, I think I was level 5, and I'm pretty sure this thing is level like 15 or something like that on like a scale of 20. So it was just, I was completely outclassed. It does, you can kind of direct it so it'll blow itself up, because it does splash damage with its magic. And I think that's mostly how I wore it down, is just walking it into a door frame.
You just cheesed it.
Yeah. Well, something I guess just worth noting is Arena's the only one, well, not the only one, we're on the second game. Arena, we had a just straightforward, like, XP for killing the thing. Daggerfall has introduced the system we are all used to with the Elder Scrolls. Using a skill levels up your skill. There are major skills and minor skills, which people in Skyrim might not know about, but you don't just kill enemies to level up in this game. You have to do lots of stuff to level up. And by leveling up a certain amount of skills, it allows you to level up. So leveling is slow. And that's just it. It's like, this is a quest that it seems almost like they give it to you, but then at the same time, almost don't expect you to go right off and do it. Yeah. Because this one also, if I'm not remembering incorrectly, and I don't see it on here, there is no timer on this quest.
Yeah, I don't think so. The other thing that we mentioned is how expansive, we did mention how expansive the world is, but we didn't mention how expansive the towns are necessarily. So if you are traveling to some of these locations in previous steps in the quest, so you get to a place like Wayrest or any of those towns that were mentioned, and you're just putzing around, as he said, looking for stuff, you're going to find buildings upon buildings. Like, you walk into a town in a modern Elder Scrolls game, even ESO, and it's fairly manageable in size. You can run through the town fairly quickly. You get a general sense of, like, oh, this is where the shops are. This is where the castle is. This is where some of the people live. that's it. But in these games, it's like there's multiple taverns. There's
There could be upwards of like 100 buildings in one of these towns.
Right.
Which is like they're designed to like the joke with Whiterun is it's the biggest, like it's the central hub or it, with the White Gold Tower type of thing. And it's like in the Imperial City, all these things are supposed to be these central hubs. And everybody's like, oh, there's like nine houses and five shops. Right. Like, oh, there's 20 people who live here. This game, it's like, no, 700 people live here and it's this. And it's like, oh, dear God.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, you might run into a guild quest or something else along the way, because you're just poking in. And just like anybody would playing these games, you're like, OK, well, what's this building? What's this? What does the sign on this building mean? Who is this person walking around? And you're just going to talk to people and go around. So it seems very reasonable that if you're just kind of adventuring through the world, that you probably would have gotten lost on some sort of side path somewhere in some town or village that you didn't intend to go to, halfway across the map, fought through another dungeon or 10, and then finally get to this stage of the quest line.
Right. And the other thing is there's a lot of times when to your point of multiple versions of something like that, you know, you can actually barter with different merchants because there's so many, like there's
or individual
so
people,
many places,
right? Like you can have like options in the dialogue with just individual people for stuff that you wouldn't expect in modern games.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So you work your way through this dungeon and you capture the Lich's soul in the scarab and you bring it back to the King of Worms. And then you have this conversation where he says, "Well done, Fredius Maximus. I am sure the prince will be most cooperative. Please accept this magical item." It's randomized.
Insert magical item.
Insert magical item as a token of my appreciation. So you get more than just a story, but he didn't tell you that to begin with. He probably should have led with, I'll give you some legendary magical item if you do this. That might be more worth your time. As a token of my appreciation. In addition, I have decided that it is time for someone outside of Tiber Septim's line to know the truth about the Underking. And this ties closely to some of the stuff we were talking about with Tiber Septim a few episodes ago. Remember that?
Yep.
He says, "As you know, Tiber Septim was the first emperor of Tamriel." Not exactly true. The first of his line of emperors.
Close enough.
Toward the end of his wars of conquest, he betrayed his battle mage, Zurin Arctis. When Zurin died, his soul refused to leave his body. Something to do with the mysterious Numidium. Whoa, they're pulling in all sorts of stuff here. This is like key Elder Scrolls territory, like across the board. Tiber Septim, Zurin Arctos, the Numidium. And then he goes on and says, "Since that time, Zurin Arctos has lived on as the Underking." Dun, dun, dun. So according to the King of Worms, who we later find out is Manny Marco, Zurin Arctos and the Underking are the same person. At least in this version of the story.
Yes.
"The Underking and his agents have been a thorn in my side for centuries." Can you imagine, like, necromancer, lich? There's like the battle of these people who love undead things. Just like, you're stepping on my territory. Get out of my undead space. Undead space was what MySpace was originally called, but that didn't work very well.
Oh, all right. I thought that was like the prequel to Dead Space.
Undead space. It should be called Undead Space because those creatures are kind of undead. Then he goes on and says, "Just remember, should the Underking regain his mortal body, he would surely throw all of Tamriel into conflict." And then you get like bonus. This is another thing we didn't mention. You get reputation in this with different groups.
I suppose that is somewhat worth noting, is you cannot befriend everybody in this game. This is kind of a thing that they've ditched in the series, where you can be the leader of everything all at once, even when they're kind of conflicting with each other. This game, by doing like all of the things, all of the factions kind of are at odds with each other, or some of the like political parties and stuff like that. So if you do something to gain favor with one person, it could very likely have an adverse effect against someone who doesn't get along with that person, that guild has a problem with them, or if you do something for one person that like requires you to, I don't know, steal something from the Mage's Guild or whatever, the Mage's Guild is not going to just be like, oh, well, I guess that's fine. He was doing the quest for Man of Marco or whatever.
Right.
It's like, no, you stole from us. Like, what? You can't do that. So, like, yes, it's an interesting dynamic with this game.
And on top of that, it's not just the groups you would expect would have reputation, like
right.
the Mages Guild, the Fighters Guild, or, you know, maybe this region or this race or something like that. It's like so far going through these quests, you could either gain or lose reputation with Lady Brissiana, yeah. Wayrest, Princess Morgaia, Associated Factions, which is its own faction, the King of Worms.
Those are the ones that are tied into certain ones. So like if you piss off Wayrest enough,
then it counts as an
aren't going to really like you.
So it's an added extra increase right. or decrease.
I think that's what they mean by something. If we have any, you know, Daggerfall enthusiasts, you could let me know if I'm a little off on that, because I'm not going to lie to you. At one point, I was not allowed legally in Wayrest because of a mistake.
I wonder if that's like a secondary mechanism on this, of like there's an extra bonus or decrease to anything that this would have been associated with on this list.
Right.
So it's like a double.
I think it's something along those lines. But like I said, there was a point where if I walked to the gates of Wayrest, all you heard was stop. And just like guards ran at me. I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh God.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. So also the King of Worms has his own reputation, and the Necromancers as a group.
Yep.
They're two distinct things. And because the King of Worms is a necromancer. King of Worms and the Necromancers. It's a 60s band. Yeah. It was when things toward the end of the 60s where things got real trippy and weird.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna allow that too. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, King of Worms and the Necromancers. That's gonna be my new act. I should start a band called that. That's great. It'll be a metal group for sure.
But it only plays doom metal.
Yeah, just glug 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 glug. Glug glug glug.
Yep,
that's every song. So that finishes the quest line with the lich, the soul of a lich quest line, and that's going to do it for this episode. We've got a number of other quests to get through still. There are, let's see, we'll count them real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 more. That was just the first four. So 16 quests in the main quest line, which feels pretty standard. Like this feels like one of those standard things, like going through Oblivion or Skyrim. They tend to have about that number of main quests.
Right. But it's also like these quests, one, not having markers slows you down.
Yeah.
It feels
different.
Yeah. It does. The dungeon traversal is just on another level in this game. Unless you know how to streamline getting to where you're going, and then you're going to sort of be underleveled type of deal, that's going to be rough. And on top of that, there are, kind of like we mentioned, essentially time gates at points where it's like, or in some cases, not even time gate. It's like, well, you're not a high enough level. You literally just aren't. I ran into that. We'll get into it next show. But I ran into that problem was I was like, I don't know what to do. And it's because I wasn't high enough level to figure out, like, I never found the next person because they were like, oh, you essentially,
you're not ready.
They were
yet.
Like, you kind of suck. Yeah. Like, come back if you suck less. And I'm like, what? I'm pretty sure this is who I need to talk to. This is where all directions kind of lead me. Why won't this person talk to me? And when I hit level 7, all of a sudden it was like, oh, you got a letter from this kid. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It was because it was level locked. Yep. I was like, oh, yep. God.
It's, oh, it's like, you're still using iron weapons.
Right.
Well, you can't come into our party.
I don't talk to people who use iron daggers.
Wait until you equip some glass weapons there. Have you even heard of those?
I can accept that need for a glass weapon. But yeah, so like those things make the game feel much longer. As I guess in many cases, they literally almost like, it sounds derogatory, but they artificially pad out the length of the game. Whereas in Oblivion or Skyrim, you can like head at it if you want.
Yeah, yeah. The speedrunners will knock out one of those games in like less than an hour at this point.
Right.
I wonder if it also gives people more of a reason to experience the rest of the game. Like they knew some people would want to mainline stuff and they're like, but there's all this other content. Like, go do some other stuff first.
I'll probably ruin this quote, but the the comment Todd Howard made when it came to Starfield about it not having maps, because he mentioned if the game has maps for towns, it shows you basically
mini-maps, right?
Was it mini-map? Sorry, yeah. Mini-map. It gives you like you're focusing on a mini-map. You're not looking at your surroundings. You're not taking in what's there. And you're just going from point A to point B. I feel like this was one of the game mechanics trying to dissuade you from doing that too, in like a broader sense. It's like, well, okay, if we do this, they're probably more likely to go goof around doing something else.
Right.
And they'll stumble into these other things, and they'll get immersed in this world, which is cool and all, and I get the logic to it, but it's a little weird when you're trying to efficiently do something, or in my case where I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to actually piece together this quest, and it's like 19 hours has gone by, and I was like, what was I doing?
Right.
I've forgotten at this point what I was even doing.
That's true. Well, you're expected to keep a actual physical journal next to you and hand write.
Because the in-game journal is just mean. It's mean to you. It doesn't help at all.
Yep. So that's the beginning of Daggerfall, the main quest line. Hope you enjoyed the look at that. And if you want to go check it out, go check out Lotus's videos. Like, you can watch him stumble around and try to figure all this stuff out.
They're up on my YouTube. If you're interested in my first playthrough of Daggerfall, I'm right at the end. I actually hopefully going to be completing it very soon, especially due to all the requests for me finishing out the end
and
the
fact
story.
That we're now doing podcasts
doing
about
the
it
thing,
so,
I should probably try to stay slightly ahead of it, but during my playthrough I don't look anything up in advance, which this game is hard to figure out when you play it like you would have when it came out, but I did also try my best to edit them correctly, minimal. I like just letting it be the let's play, but I tried to keep them to more watchable, like you're watching like a TV show, as opposed to some of the original things with Arena. Like an episode could be 5 hours long, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
a lot of people were fine with that because they just pick up where they left off,
right? But they don't need like a half hour of you going where do I go next,
you're watching like a little mini series type of thing. And so if that's something you're interested in seeing how this plays out, feel free to check out my YouTube. It's just Lotus of Doom.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can check out Tales of Tamriel.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when I regale people with my stories of it, it's not PG. Oh, man.
Yeah. So there's Tales of Tamriel. You can check out if you look for other podcasts. If you want to find that and other things, head over to robotsradio.net. I do a bunch of other shows, including about other Bethesda games like Fallout and Starfield. And there's a whole bunch of things from me and other creators.
Crazy with the show.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The numbers of like the Fallout Lorecast topped all of the ranking lists for not just video games, but like leisure. And it's ridiculous. We've gotten more downloads than like Critical Role, for example, which is insane.
Wild.
That's
just
wild. Yeah.
I will say, you know, I think that's a pretty good indication. Elder Scrolls show and or movie, Bethesda.
Yeah.
People like this stuff.
Yeah.
When you do it right.
Yep. And please keep doing stuff, because then people tune into our shows, too. So
yeah,
thanks.
And then we get residual interest. And we can share our ridiculousness with everybody.
Yeah. So thanks for being here, everybody. Chat, thank you for joining us, even though it's on a weird night. We'll be back in just a few days, because we got another episode due later this week. And we hope you have a wonderful next few days. And we'll continue the story then. So until then, stay safe. And, you know, if you come across a necromancer who's like, my zombies are going to attack you anyway, maybe there's life decisions you should be thinking about twice. I don't know.
Also, here scene with the clutch random page.
Oh,
I
random page.
At this point, it almost seems like a running gag.
It's a running
gag. We're forgetting it every time.
All right. So here's the random page. I just clicked it. This is from Elder Scrolls Online. The Dreadsail Swashbuckler are Maomer pirates of the Dreadsails who can be found across High Isle and Amenos. These are just kind of generic enemies you come across.
Doing that. I was going to say they're in the dungeon trial in the surrounding zone area in ESO.
Yep. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, you could talk about like they have 31,364 health, which isn't that much health in ESO.
Okay.
Right. How do you calculate this? We need to have one of the game designers, because why not just 31,300? Why the 64? Like, at what point? I'm sure there's an equation somewhere, right? Where somebody's like, well, you use this plus this, but minus this, and then it gets to this number, and then we're just going to put that number in for this type of enemy.
It's got to be something like that. But I series needs more Malmer.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, then there's also the Dreadsail Swashbuckler, the one at Dreadsail Reef, which are stronger, considerably stronger. Because
I was going to say that's because those ones are the one from the trial.
Yeah. So the easy ones, like the easy Overland Quest ones, 31,364 health. The trial ones, 1,584,305.
Yep. Fighting them on the boats, they get a lot harder. Even on like any of the difficulties, they're going to have a lot more health because it's a group raid, essentially.
Right. So they're just like they save all their tanky ones for the important moments, I guess.
Yes, and the rest of them are just sickly and malnourished. These the beaches,
are,
I guess.
Right. These are all like the baby ones. They're like, "You're untested. Get out there and fight." And they're like, but I have disease, and they're like, it doesn't matter, go.
It doesn't matter.
All right, thanks for being here, everybody. We'll be back soon in just a few more days, and until then, we'll stay safe. We'll see you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.